Emily Taylor. Welcome to A Feminist Perspective. This weekly radio broadcast is sponsored by the Women's Resource and Career Planning Center, a program and information service of the Dean of Women's Office, 220 Strong Hall, the University of Kansas. Tonight's broadcast is on the subject of women and athletics. A Feminist Perspective provides a forum for women themselves to speak publicly on issues of concern to them and help inform other women and men of the movement which is remaking the shape and substance of women's and men's lives throughout the world. The Women's Resource and Career Planning Center contains large amounts of information, news clippings, government documents, magazine articles, research studies, and books pertaining to the many aspects of the women's movement. We should like to invite you to come in to browse or take advantage of the materials which can be borrowed. That's in 220 Strong Hall at the University of Kansas. Our guests tonight are Sharon Drysdale, Director of Women's Intercollegiate Athletics at KU, or is that coordinator of Women's Intercollegiate Athletics at KU, Paige Carney, and Joan Lundstrom, who are teachers of women's physical education at the Lawrence High School. And we hope to be joined before the conclusion of tonight's program by Marion Washington, who is in graduate school in physical education at in the university. And Sharon, hasn't she had some special honors too, recognition as a woman athlete?
Yes, she has. Marion is an All-American in basketball, has played for years with the Piperettes in Missouri, and she's also a very established discus thrower and has several opportunities to make the Olympic team.
Mm, that's wonderful. Does she have an opportunity here to get any special training for that purpose, or is it just entirely on her own?
She's been working on her own, and she's also been working with Coach Bill Easton.
I see. Why don't we start by having you folks tell us, how'd you get into this? When did you decide that you were first interested in studying physical education and in teaching it in the schools? How about you, Paige?
Well, I guess you always try to do things that you're real successful at. So when I was a kid and growing up through high school and through college, that's what I did best. And so you like to go into things that you do best, and that's why I did it. It's a good competition. I enjoy the team emphasis and a lot of other aspects about it, but that's the reason I'm in it.
When outside of the school program, when you were a child, did you play with any of the boys in your neighborhood?
Oh, very informally. Yeah, sure. There's a...
How'd you get along?
Fine. You can always hold your own when you're younger. Then when they start to grow up, then you start to think a little better.
Or somebody tells you you're not supposed to anymore.
Right.
I was curious about that because I grew up in a block where my two sisters and I were the only girls. And so we played entirely with the boys. And I don't recall that we got any special consideration because of being girls. We could compete very well with them at that time, but when we were in school, somehow it was all divided up, and you weren't supposed to do that anymore. How about you, Joan? How'd you decide?
Well, I think you always try to choose something as a profession that you like to do, and I've always enjoyed participating in sports and competing in different sports. Even as a child, I guess I found myself playing with the boys some of the time, too, and engaging in maybe some unladylike activities. But then through high school, we did have a little bit of competition in my high school, and I guess that's what headed me in this direction.
What kind of competition did you have?
When I was in school, we competed in the form of sports days, which was more or less an informal type of competition. We might have one or two practices a week for a certain sport, and then we'd jump around from season to season or sport to sport, where one Saturday we might be playing volleyball and another Saturday basketball or something like this. So it was really kind of informal.
Did both of you go to Kansas schools?
Yeah. I went to Eudora.
Eudora?
And there was no competitive program. Mm-hmm. It was new then, anyway, and coming from a smaller school, you could hardly expect them to be that up on things, but there was nothing organized, and there was always talk of, you know, wanting to play on the boys' teams and things like that, but it was all talk, nothing really serious.
How about you, Joan? Did you go to Kansas school?
I went to Atchison High School, and most of our competition came with Shawnee Mission schools, and like I said, sports days, things like this.
Have to is the only one representative here of a generation who can do this from personal experience. Object to the term new. There certainly is nothing new about competition among women's teams. When I was in high school and college, both I played in basketball. It was my favorite sport. But then something happened, you know, which changed all that to the point where it really does seem new at the present time, although I'm sure you knew that that women's athletics was scarcely a new idea. How about you, Sharon? When did you get interested and why?
Well, I think I've also always been interested in doing some of the things I like. I've never been particularly extroverted, and fortunately enough, I had a twin so that we could play together on our own, and although I had aspirations in other areas, I came back to the thing that I enjoyed the most.
And then decided to pursue it in graduate education also. Are you folks, Joan, you and Paige, planning to do further educational work in your field? Or?
I always plan to. I have about close to 20 hours on a master's, but... Mm-hmm. It's a little hard to do while you're teaching. You have to really cram in the hours, but plan to.
Good.
I think I'd like to go back and get my master's sometime right now. I can't say when, but it's in the future, I hope.
Now, you know that this last year, the Sports Illustrated ran a series of three articles on the subject of athletic programs. And this was later condensed into an article by the Reader's Digest, which is read by some 20 million people. I presume there are a lot of women who don't read the Sports Illustrated, unless they have a particular interest in women's physical education or in women's athletics. But I was pleased to see this summary in the Reader's Digest because, as I said, this reaches millions and millions of people. And their heading is, "The $1 billion a year that America spends on athletic programs has been overwhelmingly lavished on the male half of the population." That's the first part of it. Anybody disagree with that? No one disagrees? But big changes are in view. This is the thing with which the article particularly deals. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, this is one of the hottest issues that of the present time, which people have barely begun to even consider. And I want to ask you folks to respond to some of the things that appear in this article, to say very honestly, you know, how you feel about the situation, where we are, and where you think we should be going. In the first place, there are the very interesting items that are usually mentioned, and I'm sure they're not news to any of you. The arguments that are used by those who want to defend the present system of tremendous emphasis on athletics for men and tremendous playing down of interest in athletics for women. Despite the manifest injustice of the whole system, there are still plenty of people who attempt to defend it. The first of these arguments is that athletics are physically bad for women, that competition may masculinize their appearance and affect their sexual behavior. What's your response to that?
I think that's ridiculous.
Your response is that's ridiculous.
I think if they have seen teams that present teams, well, I can only speak of the high school because that's what I've seen. And you watch kids play on the floor, you watch their conduct on and off the court, and there is nothing masculine about them. I have girls that play very fierce competitively, and they can still be ladies on and off the court, and I think it has anything to do with masculinity.
Well, you do have experience beyond the high school because you were in college. I wish this program were on television, except for me. I'd like for you people to see that these representatives here are far from masculinized. I certainly agree with you that that argument borders on, well, does more than border on the ridiculous about masculinization of appearance. But how about physically bad for women? Any truth in that?
I think that if one were to review the research, this would be contradicted to a great extent. I think certainly women as well as men can benefit from the grace, balance, coordination, flexibility, and strength, and so on, that performance in activity and in movement allows one to develop. And I think, too, that many researchers has shown that contrary to having any effect on sexual interest and so on, may be somewhat stimulating to it. And as the stereotype changes, I think many of the qualities that one can develop through participation, some degree of aggression, self-confidence, and so on, may actually be more attractive.
Any evidence that women are hurt more often than men in athletic competition? Have you know of any? How about in the high school? The girls get hurt any oftener than the boys? As often, or what?
I think girls expect to be babied more than boys. I hope to do something about that, but whenever they sprain an ankle, all you have to do is put some ice on it and they're back in the game. It's a lot of the coaching. You have to tell them that they're fit to play. They're not hurt that bad.
And what's the reason for that? I mean, why would they, what would they feel that way? Any theories on that? Used to being babied and everything else, I presume, all their lives. So
from home, from parents.
You know, if you kiss the hurt of the little girl and tell the little boy that, you know, get up and get on with it.
Conditioning
them to feel that sprain is terribly important. I think the actual, that there's been a good deal of research on this and that there is no evidence that there's any higher incidence of injury than in comparable boys' programs. Now, if you're talking about contact sports, since there are not too many, are there any, is there any competition in football, for instance?
Not at this university, and not in the high schools in this area, but there is professional women's football. Mm-hmm. But women compete against women.
And even there, there's no evidence of greater incidence of injury.
As far as this goes, whether you're talking about men's sports or women's sports, I think a lot depends on how it's handled. For instance, like in Paige's basketball competition, sure, there can be a lot of physical contact and a lot of injuries could result from it, but if there's good officiating and the coaches are sensible and the girls are well coached, I think this is going to cut a lot of this out. Mm-hmm.
The second argument that Sports Illustrated talked about was that women do not play sports well enough to deserve athletic equality. What kind of comment do you have on that argument?
I'd say that it's unreasonable to expect an individual to develop skills when essentially they've been kept in a cage or on the other side of the fence throughout most of their lives. And I think that given the opportunity, that women will achieve levels that are very close to their potential.
Anybody else have a comment on it? May I give an example from those early days? I once taught in a school where I was a counselor in a high school that played interscholastic, that had interscholastic competition. And in basketball, girls' team, which always was the preliminary game, of course, was so much better than the boys' team that everybody was there to watch the girls' competition, and it was a source of some embarrassment to the school that there were people who left when the men's team started to play, because they really weren't very good. Actually, many of those games were very exciting games, and of course we have the Olympic competition. What about that? Women do not play sports well enough to deserve athletic equality. Have they done pretty well in the Olympics?
I think that in the beginning, women were not allowed to compete in the Olympics. And I think, again, that it's difficult to equate because American women are then competing with women in other parts of the country where the stereotypes maybe are not as firmly ingrained as they are here, and maybe where they are more respected and given greater opportunities and more advantages. So I think we have performed very well in some sports and not as well in others as we, I think, can certainly hope to in the future.
The third argument is that girls aren't really interested in sports, and therefore we shouldn't waste our money on them. What's your comment to that?
Well, we had over 100 people try out for basketball this year at the high school. It doesn't matter, for 16 positions. I think there's a great deal of interest. I think it's also a shame that we have a core of people that perform most of the sports. We have maybe 25 really good people that participate on most of the teams, but there's still the interest of the kids that are maybe adequate, a little more than adequate, but they may not make the team and they still come out and they try. I think there's a definite interest in almost every sport.
Any other comments on that?
I think that little girls love to play, and it's only when they begin to realize the kinds of things they should play with and play at that they begin to try to channel themselves in other directions.
And if a little girl is given this argument that athletics are physically bad for her, may interfere with her being able to have children later in life, which is one of the ones that sometimes use, despite the fact that nothing seems to be better protected than the reproductive organs, or that she's going to masculinize her, she probably takes that pretty seriously. So that when those, I presume that you people who are in physical education do what you can to try to combat arguments of that kind along the line. Do you know anything about this Iowa program that they talk about, since some 500 Iowa schools do have, they have a state athletic association?
I've gone to school at the University of Iowa, and although I've not actually participated in the Iowa high school program, I've seen some of the games on television, and they do get thousands and thousands and thousands of people out for their state tournaments and so on. They do not use the same rules that many other high schools or even colleges do, but their program is very well organized. They have all of the small communities involved, and it's the thing to do.
In fact, the quotation from them is that all those dire warnings of the medical, moral, and financial disasters that would follow if girls were granted athletic parity are considered hogwash in Iowa. Do you agree with that?
I think the broadcasters still focus in on the crying players when they lose and so on, and try to point out the emotional instabilities and so on. But I think that men too, in championship competition and so on, do sometimes show the strains of that competition and show the elations of victory too.
They say that here that in Iowa the coaches are paid exactly the same as the coaches of boys' teams, and that the girls' teams are fully equipped, have the same practice facilities, travel in the same style, and are given the same school rewards as boys' teams. How's that compare with the situation here?
Well, as far as our program in Kansas, I can say that we're given the same rewards now as the boys' teams. The trophies that the state gives are similar, but all of the other things that you mentioned probably depend upon the individual schools. Right now, for the first time this year, our women coaches at Lawrence High are being paid the same as an assistant coach for one of the boys' sports, and but we consider this to be making progress from what we had in the past. I think next year we'll be able to do a lot more for our girls. We will be included in the regular athletic budget rather than using money that the girls have raised themselves to support our programs, and we should be able to provide, say, meals and transportation for the girls where we haven't before.
How will that be financed? Is it extra money, or is it a division of the total between boys and girls?
As I understand it, I guess it will be a division of the total that they have for the athletic budget.
If we could have crowds in Kansas like they have in Iowa, we could probably support ourselves like they do. But we don't have those.
Well, what sports really do support themselves for boys or for men in college?
Football supports the remainder, most of the remainder of the sports at the college level.
So, in other words, if you had, if you were having only such athletics that supported themselves, we would have primarily then only football and perhaps basketball?
Perhaps basketball. Basketball at times is able to complete a season in the black, and at times they go in the red. So it's variable, but next to football, I think, is probably the next biggest money-making sport.
Now, when one listens to coaches talking, talking, I always get the impression, at least, that they are saying that the athletics are for purposes other than simply competition, simply winning. Do those same arguments apply to women's sports? The argument that it's an educational activity, that it has educational value. I guess the question I'm asking is, if it has educational value for the men, does it have equal educational value for the women?
I think at the high school level it definitely does, in several ways. Not only do the girls learn a lot from just the experience of participating and competing, but from the standpoint of their grades in school, I think although we're occupying quite a bit of their time with practices and things like this, that parents will agree that during the quarters that they're involved in a sport, that their grades are better, their interest in school is good, and their all-around performance in their educational endeavors is a lot better, too.
If competition, then, is supposed to have values other than just entertaining the people who come to watch. You know, when you're talking about getting out crowds to see it, in a sense, it sounds as if the main value of the athletics lies in entertaining spectators rather than in what it does to the competitors, and I suspect you don't really mean that, do you?
When I said crowds, I'm talking about financing yourself. I'm not talking about educational values.
No. But coaches do say, don't they, that athletics develops character and good citizenship and good attitudes. Now, whether it does or not, I, of course, am not in a position to say, but it's certainly contradictory to say that the that girls shouldn't play because they're not good enough, or because not enough people want to come and watch them to make it self-supporting, and at the same time argue that athletics for men is good because it develops character and good citizenship and all those other fine things. There will be February, I believe, on February the 25th. A special program on the implications of Title IX, which says that no person shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation and be denied the benefits of, be treated differently from another person, or otherwise be discriminated against in any physical education or non-competitive athletics operated by a recipient. That means any school or any school at any level, college, high school, junior high school, grade school, and no recipient shall provide any athletics separately on such basis. In complying with this regulation, a recipient shall not discriminate on the basis of sex in selection of sports in which it will offer instruction or other activities. Now, this has not, the Title IX, of course, was passed last year. This Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972. And if this is carried out, as the law now says that it must be, it should provide a tremendous difference in the programs in which all of you are involved, would it not? What would you do with all that money if you had half of it? Aren't there as many women as there are or girls, as there are boys in high school? And
I'd build a gym so we could have a place to practice. We're practicing right now in a grade school gym because there is not enough room in the high school, not enough time, and we have to get pushed into a grade school gym, which is just fine now, but if we had money, that's what we'd build, those facilities, I think.
But in the meantime, I presume you'd have to use you'd have to share the facilities of the high school. What do you mean there's not enough room or enough time? It's a question of who uses it, isn't it?
The boys use it from 3 to 6, and then the junior varsity has it, and then the sophomores have it, and then sometimes there's intramurals, adult education, wrestling meets, wrestling practice, and there's no time in the big gym. If we only have one facility, it's got to be shared. Only since we're just practicing, everybody else is a big established program, we get what's left over, and we go to grade school, which is just fine with us for right now. But if we had a choice.
Well, obviously it won't be fine under the requirements of Title IX, and so this is something to which everybody will have to give a considerable amount of attention. I would call your attention, those of you who are in Lawrence, to the article Young Ideas in the Journal World on page 14 of January 16th. Where a number of high school students were asked the question of what is your opinion of the girls' athletic program at Lawrence High School? And the most common response from both the boys and the girls that were asked dealt with inadequate facilities and not enough time and not enough equipment, which was very interesting to me, especially since we did not have all the boys saying, oh, girls shouldn't be competing anyway. So maybe the younger generation coming along, I have some hope from reading this at least, that some of the members of the high school generation are beginning to recognize that perhaps a state of equality does not exist. And certainly there are college women, aren't there, Sharon, who feel very strongly about this subject. Our topic tonight has been women in athletics. I want to thank our guest, Sharon Drysdale, from the and coordinator of Women's Intercollegiate Athletics at KU, Paige Carney and Joan Lundstrom, who are teachers of physical education, and I take it that you're doing some coaching too, from what you said, at the Lawrence High School, for joining us, and what will probably by no means be the last program on this subject, because, as I said, when the Title IX guidelines become known and the law is already available, certainly great changes are going to take place in this very important matter of athletic opportunities for girls and women. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll join us again next Monday at 7:30 for A Feminist Perspective.